Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing from Psalter 136, stanza 1 and 4. Dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise, none forever can remain, each must leave his hoarded gain. Yet within their hearts they say that their houses are for aye, that their dwelling places grand shall for generations stand. Psalter 136, the first and the fourth stanza. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. Matthew 2, the first 12 verses. But before we all read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country and other way. Thus far.
Congregation, let us beg the Lord for his presence and for a blessing upon his word. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this first Lord's Day of this new year, again, in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness, the doors of thy house again have been opened, and we could gather together as a congregation, together with our children in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, may it be a wonder unto each one of us that thy long-suffering patience, that thou hast not dealt with us according to all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, that thou hast not cast us away under thy eternal wrath, that thou art yet willing to speak unto us and to our children through thy precious, everlasting, living word. And Lord, again, we have heard thy law. And Lord, may it be a mirror before us. Oh, bless the law, the hearing of the law, the reading of the law, by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that we may see who we are before thee. And thy word testifies that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after thee, none righteous. And we are all guilty. We have that guilt from our Father in paradise, the covenant head, but we also all have our own actual personal sins. Lord, we beg thee that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may become guilty, that we may become lost before thee. But Lord, also bless thy word for thy people, not only to show their sin, but also that they may learn that way to express that gratitude unto thee, that they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also that they may bring forth more fruits to the honor and to the glory of thy name. Wilt thou then bless law and gospel? O work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, Lord, that in this year, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones would be born again, and that they may come to that place that thou wilt lead all thy people. Oh, how great my sins are, that they may see their misery, but also come to seek, to ask, to beg for a way back to thee, and that thou would reveal that only way through thy Son, of whom we may read in thy precious word. And Lord, we read in thy word that thy word is the power of God, that it is the way of salvation and can make sinners wise unto that only way of salvation through thy Son. O Lord, then we beg thee as we may begin this year together in thy house on the first Lord's Day, we beg thee for thy presence, we beg thee for thy irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. O work among us freely, sovereignly, Lord. And thou hast said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come, rend the heavens, gather among us, and take away hearts of stone, and give hearts of flesh. Lord, wilt thou translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son? And Lord, remember all thy dear people who have been born again. Oh, what lessons we need to learn. Oh, what we need to learn, that there's nothing in us, and that we may be led to that place where those wise men were led, to be bowing before thee, before thy Son, needing him, seeing everything in him. Oh, Lord, wilt thou reveal him to us? Oh, that thy people may then also be led to know more and more of the riches and of those beauties that are in him. O work with thy Spirit and open thy word, that he may be proclaimed, but also open hearts and give faith, true saving faith, and that faith may be given to be an exercise, that poor, guilty, wretched sinners may be given to look away from self, to be looking unto thee. And thou hast said in thy word, look unto me, and be ye saved all the ends of the earth. Lord, wilt thou then draw sinners unto thyself? Sinners who will never seek thee. Sinners who will never have an urgent need for thee. Lord, work for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, that thy kingdom may come, and for our eternal salvation. Lord, in this year wilt thou bless thy word richly, that sinners may have life and come to know that life in another, in thy dear Son, that sinners may come to know that only comfort, that true comfort in life, but also in death, that comfort that will lead unto thee to be with thee eternally. Lord, then have mercy upon us, because if thou would look upon us because of all our sins as a congregation and as a consistory, we all stand polluted. We're all sinful. There's nothing in us, Lord. But may we ask thee for thy name's sake, as thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your name's sake, but for my name's sake. Come among us, Lord. Open thy word. Bless thy word. Enlighten minds to the truth of thy word. Open eyes to see who we are, and reveal thyself through thy Son, and open our eyes to see him. And Lord, give hearts, hearts that come to that place, that bow before thee in the dust as a lost, guilty sinner, yet looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, everything we need for our body, but also everything that we need for our eternal soul. Oh, may we see it. May it work hope, that trust in thee, in that triune God, that in everything thou hast provided for the salvation in thee, as a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for completely lost sinners. Oh, wilt thou bring then today that we may come to that place to truly adore thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we confess thou hast created us for this one purpose, but we seek everything except for thee. We worship self and the world. Lord, have mercy upon us. Renew us. Sanctify us. And have mercy upon us through thy dear Son. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children or a child, those who have lost a sibling, other relatives, or friends, a classmate. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Teach us that we also one day must die and stand before thee. O Lord, wilt thou prepare us by thy free and sovereign grace? Lord, remember all the sick. Lord, we have read them in the bulletin, and there's others in the hospital. May we lay them all before thee. Have mercy upon each one, and that all these afflictions may be sanctified, that we have a greater disease, and that we need the great physician, that precious Savior of sinners. Lord, remember each one and all their cares and needs. Remember those who cannot gather with us because they are in the hospital or in Bethany Care Home or sick at home, and yet may use the means. Bless it, Lord. Remember each one. We give thee thanks also that others may return home from the hospital. Care for them. Give them a thankful heart. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would teach us by thy word and through the acts of thy providence that we have no continuing city, as we have sung at the beginning of this service. O, wilt thou make us truly wise? Wise unto that way of salvation, that we are sin, that thou art holy and just, and can by no means clear the guilty, but also that thou art merciful and gracious through thy dear Son. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thy kingdom may come, that more may be gathered in, that more may come to know thee, bow before thee, confessing their sin, forsaking sin, and seeking everything in thee. Bless thy word among Jew and Gentile throughout the entire world. Help all thy servants throughout the world, whom thou hast called to proclaim thy word. Lord, we beg and pray thee also, remember thy word that may be proclaimed in Bolivia. Richly bless it, Lord. Help thy servants there, the elders, the deacons, church workers, and also Pastor Marco. Lord, help each one. May they be instruments in thy hand. And Lord, may we all be instruments, all thy servants, all elders, all deacons, and that we may have no hope or expectation in self, but that our hope and our expectation may be in thee, the Almighty God. Lord, bless thy word then throughout this world, and thou hast promised that they will come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Lord, have mercy then, and may we also be included with our children in that blessed people, that people who are adopted by thee from eternity, sought by thee, renewed by thee, taught by thee, led by thee, and who will also be taken to that eternal home to be forever with thee. Lord, we beg thee then, come among us, care for thy church. Thou art the King of the church, and thou hast said thou wilt never forsake the work of thy hands. Work among us graciously, mightily, powerfully, and give a blessing upon thy word. Thou knowest those poor and needy sinners crying and begging, seeking a way. Oh, lead them to that only way. Thou knowest those with all the riddles, the questions in their heart. May their questions be answered through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, then we beg thee, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen. We all need it. We all need that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We are guilty. We are polluted. We are lost. Have mercy upon us. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins. And bless thy word locally, in prisons, among children, among co-workers, classmates, and throughout also this world and in this nation. Bless it, Lord. Have mercy. Remember then also when the school will begin again tomorrow. Provide all that is needed. And may then, we beg thee, guide and lead the board. Remember the staff. May their eyes be looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all their help. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would give God-fearing teachers, and that they may also be a living example, and not only speak about that way of salvation, but out of it, and that thou would bless it to the students. Lord, remember us in all our cares and needs, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 417, all three stanzas. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied, with grace thou wilt provide. 417, all three stanzas, and the collections for today is for the church and for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we read in John 4, verse 23 through 25, the following. John 4, verse 23 through and 24. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we read in verse 24, John 4, verse 23, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What does that mean? Well, seeking can mean that you look for something. Is that all that the Lord means? What he means, the Father seeketh? No, it means more. It means that God requires. He requires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you study that word more, it actually means God is yearning. God is yearning that sinners would worship him in spirit and in truth. God created you and me for this one purpose. For this one purpose, to worship him perfectly with our whole spirit and in truth. And Adam and Eve in paradise did worship God in spirit and in truth joyfully every day. But we sinned against God. We rebelled against God. And now we are born totally depraved. There's not one sinner that's born upon this earth worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And he is so worthy. He is worthy that the whole world, every single person on this earth, would worship him in spirit and in truth. But by our sin, by our rebellion, we have only become self-worshippers. We worship everything but God. We worship everything but worship God in spirit and in truth. And yet, the Father seeketh. He seeketh, he yearns that sinners would come to truly worship him. He requires it, but he desires it, he yearns. How will this ever take place? How will sinners who were born totally dead, enemies of God, and only worship self, ever come to truly begin to worship him? What's the answer? Grace. Amazing grace. Free and sovereign grace. Grace awakens. Grace renews. Grace brings questions. Grace causes a sinner to begin to seek. Grace causes sinners to come to find, and grace brings sinners to come to truly worship him in spirit and in truth. By nature, we are just fools. As the Bible says, we're fools, and we need to be made wise. God yearns for sinners to worship him in spirit and in truth. And by his grace, he will cause them and he will make them to truly worship him in spirit and in truth. He makes fools wise, truly wise. Children, teenagers, young adults, congregation, older ones, who is wise? Who is wise? The wise men were truly wise. Why were they wise? There's only one answer. They became wise by God's grace because they began to ask, they began to seek, they were brought to find, and they come to that place of worshiping one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with the Lord's help, we would like to consider what was read to you from Matthew 2, the history of the wise men, and at this time we will only read verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So far from God's word. The theme for this morning is the wise men worshiping Jesus Christ. The wise men worshiping Jesus Christ. And their life is a beautiful example of the life of grace. It's an illustration of grace. And so that's what we'll focus on this morning through this history. A thread through it, all God's grace. And lay your heart beside it. Do you know something of this life by God's grace? Three thoughts then. First, grace awakens a question about Jesus Christ. We read in verse 2 saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So they have a question. A question is born in their heart. So that's the first thought. Grace awakens a question about Jesus Christ. Second, grace leads to an active seeking for Jesus Christ. Why did they come to Jerusalem? Why did they go to the house? Why did they follow the star? They were seeking him that was born, the Messiah. They were seeking the Savior, Jesus Christ. So grace leads to an active seeking for Jesus Christ. And what's the result? Grace results in a true worship of Jesus Christ. And we see this especially in the text that we read. And so with the Lord's help, the wise men worshiping Jesus Christ. Grace awakens the question about Jesus Christ. Grace leads to an active seeking for Jesus Christ. And grace results in true worship of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord richly bless his word and bring sinners by his grace to the same place. The Father seeketh such to worship him. What a wonder. So our first thought, grace awakens a question about Jesus Christ. So the first thing when we begin this first point, I would like to point out to you that there comes a question in these men's hearts. How many there are? That's not important. Who exactly are? That's not important. Let's focus on one thing, God's grace in these men. So in the life of grace, a question comes in the hearts of sinners. These men also have a question. A question arises in their hearts, in their lives, that they never had before. And that's also true today. What's their question? What do we read in verse 2? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? This question was born, or you could say placed in their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because by nature we do not seek he that was born King of the Jews at all. Nothing. The question arises in their lives. Where can we find the Messiah? Where can we find him that's born King of the Jews? Where can we find the Savior? Where can we find Jesus Christ? In a natural state, we have questions. But we don't have this type of a question. What kind of questions do we have? Well, let's look at some examples in the Bible. I think of Pharaoh, which we read of in Exodus 5, verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" Enmity, or what we read of the wicked, which Job wrote about in Job 21, verse 14 and 15. "Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" So we see by nature in these questions is a picture of you and me. We have no desire for the Almighty God. We have no desire for the King. We have no desire for the Savior. We have no desire to serve him, to follow him, and to obey him. We are just enemies. Born dead in sins and trespasses. And we have no desire. And we see this enmity. Maybe you say, "Am I really an enemy? May I show you that you're an enemy, children?" By nature, you're an enemy of God. You say, "I'm an enemy? I want to show you from the word of God. In my own words, from the word of God. Children, do you really want to obey your parents?" Sometimes you say, "No." They say, "Do this," and you say, "No." You know what that's in your heart? That's enmity. Enmity against God. Students, Your teacher tells you something and you say, I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to do it. Who's my teacher that I should obey him? That's enmity. Enmity against God. Adults, your turn. We like to sometimes question the government, and if it's sin, please pray for them and talk to them. But we also like to rebel against them of rules. We don't want the government to be over us. And parents, a teacher, and the government are all given by God to rule over us. And when we rebel against them, we show our enmity against God. But where else can we really see that we're enemies of God? How we hate the law of God. By nature, we don't want to obey the law of God. We're enemies. We fight against the law of God. We say, we don't say this out loud, but in our heart is, who is the Lord to tell me what to do? I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what my flesh desires. I will decide what I want in my life. Paul wrote this about this enmity in Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Are you still an enemy? Are you still an enemy? Do you see before the mirror of law of the word of God, you're an enemy? These wise men were born also in this state of enmity. And you say, well, where do we see this in this chapter? We don't read that at all. It begins with a question. Well, may I ask you, who is their father? Who is the father of these wise men? Adam. Adam is their father. So these wise men were also born, as the Bible says, in a state of enmity, in a state of death, spiritual death. And Paul wrote that so clearly in Romans 5, verse 12, that everyone, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all children of Adam. Also the wise men. So this is our natural heart. And remain so. Remain so as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. Unless what? What needs to take place? They need to be regenerated by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. No man, boy, girl, woman, no person on this whole earth is born with the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? There is no seeking. There is no longing by nature for that only Savior. Is that still you? Are you not wise at all? An enemy of God? No seeking? Lost? Is your in your heart, is there still rebellion against God? Who is the Lord? I will not have this man rule over me. I want to do what I want. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? What is the Almighty that I should serve him? Or has it become different in your heart? Has other questions come in your heart? By the power of the Holy Spirit, questions arising in your heart and in your mind and in the depth of your heart, there's different questions. That those questions that you had in the past have gone away, so to speak, and something else has been born by God's renewing grace. Other questions are born in the hearts of sinners, in the hearts of these wise men. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? When God's grace begins in the life of a sinner, the focus changes, but also new questions come. Questions that they never had. God's saving grace leads to one point. It leads to one point. What is that one point? That God leads his people. What's the point? It's to the same point, to the same focus of these wise men. They become truly wise by God's grace. There comes a question. There comes a question in time by God's grace for one person, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for a Savior. Let's take a moment to look through the Bible of those who have questions. And maybe you can identify with these questions, with these people. I think of Nicodemus. He came to the Lord Jesus by night. And the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. And we've all heard it. You must be born again. And then Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born again? He didn't understand it at all. Is that your question still? How can I be born again? How can my children be born again? How can my wife, my husband, my child that's just gone in the world and I don't see anymore? How? How can I? How can they be born again? There's an answer. There's a precious answer. It's the work of God, of His free and sovereign grace. There's hope because He's living. He's the faithful one. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and through His word, He can work in any hard, cold, dead, old, young, wicked, in the church or in the world. He can cause them to be born again. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to Lord Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And what happened at the end of that conversation? The Lord Jesus Christ told him, go and sell everything that you have and come and follow me. And that rich young ruler, he went away sorrowful. And what did the disciples then ask? As we read in Matthew 19, verse 25, who then can be saved? What's the answer? What's your question this morning? Is it your question, how can I be saved? Can one of my children be saved? Can one of my relatives be saved? One of my friends? My classmate? What was the answer of the Lord? Verse 26, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can save sinners. Congregation, that's the hope. That's the hope as we preach. That's the hope when we work in His kingdom, that God saves sinners. When the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples that He was going to leave them. Remember? In that chapter, then Thomas asked the question, how can we know the way? The Lord Jesus spoke about the way, and Thomas had the question, how can we know the way? Is that your question? Is your question on this first Lord's Day of the year, what's the way? What's the way back to God? What's the way back to God that I so miss, that He planted in my heart love that I never had before and I miss Him? What's the way back to Him? What's the way back? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think of Saul. Children, remember, on the way to Damascus, a dead, self-righteous Pharisee, so good in himself, but completely dead, so beautiful on the outside, like a whited sepulcher, but full of dead bones. And the Lord stopped him. The Lord renewed him. And questions came. Questions that Saul never had before. What was the question? Who art thou, Lord? Is that your question? Who art thou, Lord? Another question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you know these questions? That you want to know the will of God? Are these also your questions? I think of the man that was born blind. He also came to a question in his life. He was healed. He was cast out of the church. And the Lord visited him. He visited him. And he asked a question to that man. As we read in John 9, verse 35, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And what was his answer? Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe him? Is this your question? Who is the Lord? Who is that Savior? Who's that Savior of sinners? I want to hear. This year, I want to hear about that Savior for sinners. I need a Savior for my soul. Who is he? I think of one more question. There's more, but I think of the jailer. Remember him? He came to a question he never had before. He came to that question, what must I do to be saved? Do you know this question? I hope you learn this question. I hope this question comes in your life, these questions. And so we hear many questions. They all can be grouped in one category, one longing to know the way of the Lord, to know that way of salvation. That way of salvation. And we don't know what other questions the wise men had. But may I ask you, do you have questions in your heart and in your soul this morning? Has a question come in your heart that you never had before? A question, how can I be saved? How can I be reconciled with God? How can I receive a little token of favor? A little smile from the Almighty God that I have sinned against? How can I be saved? How can my sins be forgiven? How can I be reconciled with God? Are these your questions? How can all these questions be answered? We can sum it all up. There's one answer. It's all through Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's all in that precious name that God has provided of Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. Do your questions parallel with the questions that we've considered? Is that your heart? Is that your soul? Do they bring to that same place? To that same place as these wise men asking, where is He? Where is He that's born King of the Jews? Is it come to a place that you come to an end in everything yourself? And you seeking only one, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's saving grace brings sinners to a need for a Savior. And He does that to show us our misery, to bring us to that place of deliverance. It's His work. Have all your questions drawn you to be on your knees before Him, crying to Him, Lord, teach me, show me. Has it brought you to that one place by the power of the Holy Spirit? And that one place in His Son, that's what He works. The Holy Spirit works the same from the beginning to the end, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And He uses the law to show our sin, to be that schoolmaster. As Paul wrote in Galatians 3 verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. For what purpose? What purpose? To bring into that place of utter death and that they'd lay there in their misery forever? No. No. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster? To bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Him. God, by the Holy Spirit, makes room for one person. And that's painful to us because we need to die to everything. But it comes to life for only one person. One question comes. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? Where is that Savior? Is that your life? Is that your heart? God revealed to the wise men that a child was born, a baby was born, the King of the Jews. This is how the wise men came to Jerusalem, with a question they didn't have before. And the Lord led them by the star, and they came there with this question. By grace, their hearts, their lives were awakened, and the question comes into their heart. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? Do you know something of this, my friend? But that's not where they stopped. No, we go to our second thought. Grace leads to an active seeking for Jesus Christ. This next point we see in the life of grace in these wise men is that the question worked by the Holy Spirit in the life of these sinners grow into a life of active seeking for Him that was born King of the Jews. When the wise men knew by the star, and we could spend a whole hour discussing, not important, God provided, God did it. How? We don't know. But God did it. God did it by a star. They saw that star, and they knew He was born. And what did they do? Did they just look at that star that they knew testified that He that was born King of the Jews? Oh, they say, that's nice. Thank you. No, they became active. True saving grace in the life of a sinner causes them to become active. What did these men do? Well, what do we read in Matthew 2, 1 and 2? Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Children, think of these wise men. We may believe they had to take a long journey. They had to take a journey probably through the desert, a long, hot journey, which probably could have taken them several weeks. Very dangerous. It cost them time. It cost them money. But they made that journey. Why? Why did they make that journey, leaving their country and coming to Jerusalem with that question, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Because they had to find Him. They had to find Him and they desired to worship Him. To worship Him. Nothing could stop them. Nothing at all. Nothing could stop them from seeking Him. Is this true in your life also? Has there come an urgency? An absolute urgency and a desire? I need to find that Savior for my soul. I need to find that Savior who can reconcile me, that mediator, with a holy and a righteous and a just God. Do you know something of seeking with an urgency? They could have used many excuses, but they didn't. That urgency in their heart, they had to find Him. They couldn't rest. They couldn't rest until they found Him. And now imagine these wise men finally coming to Jerusalem, coming closer. Now we'll find Him. We'll find Him. The people will tell us. They'll tell us where He is. We'll find that Savior. We'll find Him that's born King of the Jews. But what happens? Imagine them coming into Jerusalem and asking, where is He that's born King of the Jews? Where is He that's born King of the Jews? You can imagine the people looking at them. What? What king? There's no king born. The Romans are rulers over us. There's no prince. No, the wise men responded. You can imagine. No, we come to seek Him. Where is He that's born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in His east. We've come to worship Him. We want to find Him. And these people, you can imagine, looked at them with shock. A king? A king? Why are they asking about a king of the Jews? They don't understand it. There was no Jewish prince, to their knowledge, born at all. And the rulers are ruling over us. The Romans are ruling over us. And we read that all the people, Herod was troubled. And all the people with them, we read that in verse 3, they were all troubled. Imagine Herod, that king. What? A king is born? I might not be king anymore. And they all became troubled. And he calls a council together, a meeting. He needs to know where he is born. But he's so different than these wise men. He's a fool. He's not wise at all. And we know he only had one purpose to find this child, because he wanted to kill him. He said he wanted to worship Him, but he was an absolute hypocrite. He was dead. He was a fool. But these wise men want to find this child. They cannot rest until they find Him. And now imagine these wise men coming, traveled such a long time, so much effort, and they come there, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. Imagine the disappointment. The disappointment. Why do these people not know? Maybe then a little question, another question rose in their heart. Have we been mistaken? Maybe Satan assaulted them and say, fools, you should have stayed home. But they can't go home. So they come to a place of disappointment. Of disappointment. And what happens in Jerusalem? Herod calls those leaders and asks them, where is He born? Show me, show me. And they know exactly. They have the scriptures from Micah 5 verse 2. They know exactly, those leaders, where He is born. And they tell Herod He's born in Bethlehem. This must have even more puzzled the wise men. These leaders know. They know about Him. They know where He's born. They probably also heard from the shepherds very well. But why didn't they go seek Him? All Jerusalem was troubled, puzzled. They also probably heard that a king was born. They probably also maybe heard the announcement of the shepherds. But they didn't go seek Him. They didn't seek Him. They hear, they know from Scripture. So they have a historical faith knowledge. But they don't seek that Savior. Is that you? You heard. You have much knowledge. But has it come? A question for your soul. And has there come an active seeking by God's grace for a Savior? Why do sinners hear about a Savior, the glad tidings, and do not seek Him at all with their heart to worship Him in spirit and in truth? Why? They hear about Him. That's a blessing. But why don't they seek Him? Because there's no need. There's no need. They're so-so. Not so bad, not so good. Kind of good, but not so bad. No real, true, urgent need of being absolutely lost before a holy and just God. And that's where I pray that you may be led in this year. Lost in self. Because through that way, there comes an absolute urgency for another one. Outside of yourself to save you. And others go. Others hear. Others seek like these. Why? Why? What's the difference? All that blessed, irresistible power of the Holy Spirit that we so desperately need. And we may beg him to work among us. That Pharisees become lost sinners. That prodigals become lost sinners. Children, would you go to the doctor? If your mom said tomorrow, let's go to the doctor, you'd say, well, mom, I feel fine. I don't need to go to the doctor. That's true, we don't have a need. And we, by nature, we hear about that Savior. We are welcome to come to him. Yes, we are welcome to come to him, but we don't. Why? Because there's no need. No need in our hearts. May the Lord work as he worked in these men that became wise men, that there comes an urgent need and an active seeking for him. And when do we truly seek him? Ask God's children. Ask them. When do you truly seek him? When do we truly seek him? When all other hopes become dead, lost. When everything else becomes impossible. Impossible. All shut off. Because the Lord works to make room for one way through his Son. And what a blessed work. Painful. But so necessary. So necessary for our never dying souls. And then comes that question, where is he? And then there comes that active seeking for him, for that only mediator. My friend, you have heard of him again this past Christmas. Is your life like the shepherds? Is your life like the wise men? And it's our guilt if we are not like them. Because God made us perfect, and he has every right to require that we seek him and that we worship him in spirit and in truth, so we can only end in our guilt. But the other side, all those wonders of his grace, the wonders of his grace that he makes such. He yearns and he makes sinners to truly seek him with their whole hearts. Imagine. Congregation, if you were diagnosed with bone cancer and you heard, for example, somewhere deep in the States that there was a doctor that had a medication exactly what you needed for your case, for your cancer, bone cancer, and you take all the effort to get there and you come to that city and you ask for this special doctor and they all look at you and say, never heard of him. Never heard of him. Wouldn't you be absolutely disappointed? But then you hear from someone, I heard one. He's just a little ways out of this town. You may go and find him. Would you go home? You wouldn't go home, because to go home would be death. You need to be brought to that place. You need that one. This is the heart and the life of the wise men. This is the life of grace in all the disappointments. Because they do meet disappointments in different ways similarly. Disappointments in the seeking, but they cannot let him go. They need him. This is the life of grace. Through all the trials, through all the tribulations, there's only one place they want to be brought to and to come to see him, that only Savior that has been revealed. He revealed unto them by the star that he was born, and they began to seek him actively, actively. And they heard them. No, not in Jerusalem. In that little town in Bethlehem. That's where he is. And so they go. They go to that one place. They cannot give up. They can't. Is that you? You can't give up. All kinds of things come against you. All kinds of doubts and trials and tribulations, afflictions and questions. But in it all, you can't give up. You can't let him go. Like that bride, remember, in the Song of Solomon? I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Did she go home? No, she kept seeking. I need to find him whom my soul loveth. Is that you? That's the people. That's that life of grace. They can't rest until they find him, that they may know. That they may know that he knows of them, and that they know him, that they belong to him. Have you become a seeker? A seeker. By God's grace, for that only Savior. And are you meeting disappointments? Are you meeting disappointments? Why? Why in the life of grace is there also disappointments, impossibilities, lessons to be learned? For example, that the Lord would show you more of your sinfulness. Why? So that you would so much more profoundly the beauty and the grace that is in the only Savior, that it would all end completely and fully glorifying Him. Why? To test the faith. He tests the real faith. To test. Why? Maybe you're seeking it in the wrong way. Maybe you're still seeking something in self. Something of your feelings. When you have feelings, there's hope. When those feelings are down, they're gone. Maybe you're in your experiences. In your experience, maybe you're seeking in a completely wrong place. Maybe you're seeking it still by the law. Trying to the law to become a better person. It will only lead to death. And I hope it comes all to death. That it only comes to one thing. That it comes, I need Him. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? As soon as the wise men hear, they hear that He's in Bethlehem. Then they go, and they go, and then what happens? What do they see? They see the star again. The star comes, and they rejoice with exceeding joy. And God, in those disappointments, may I say it simply, not to spiritualize, but He gives a little light. He gives little stars. He encourages that people through the Word, through this precious Word, through the promises of His Word, to encourage them that in all the disappointments, to keep seeking, wait upon God to seek. For example, what He says in Luke 11, verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened." And those poor beggars, in all that disappointment, keep seeking, keep asking, keep crying, keep knocking. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And that gives them courage, light from His Word, a light upon their path to find that only Savior. The wise men were not satisfied with hearing about that He was born. The wise men had to find Him. They had to seek Him. They wanted to know Him. They wanted to come to find Him. That's the same people. They want to find Him. They can find Him in the precious Word of God. And they cannot rest until they find Him. And children, older ones, where can we find Him today? We can find Him in the precious Word of God, in the Scriptures. He's in the Scriptures. The Bible is His history. It all testifies of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. And so open your Bible. Fathers, your children need to find that only Savior. You do. Your wife does. Singles, the whole congregation, open your Bible. Read the Bible. It's the history of Jesus Christ. Do it prayerfully. Do it reverently. As a beggar, please, show me who I am, but show me also that precious Savior. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The wise men didn't stop. They couldn't. They couldn't stop. They're like Esther. "If I perish, then I'll perish at the feet." They're like Ruth that went to Boaz. They had to find that greater Boaz. They had to find that Savior. May I ask you, and I mean with much respect, are you still a fool? What's a fool? Hearing the truth, saying thank you, so to speak, and just carrying on. Or have you been made truly wise? That you become lost? That you need a Savior? And have you become active seeking Him? And are you crying, "Lord, draw me. Draw me, because I can't trust my own heart. I don't trust anything of myself, but draw me with those cords of love that I would run after thee." These men had a question by God's grace awakened in their heart. And by grace, they became true seekers. And they were led to Him. And they found Him. Let's sing first. 164. 1 and 2. 164 stanzas 1 and 2. "Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be." 164 stanzas 1 and 2. Grace results in true worship of Jesus Christ. Let us read Matthew 2, verse 11 again. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now imagine these men entering into that home. Entering into that home and seeing the child. Seeing with their eye, but not only with their physical eye, they saw with the eye of faith what they heard of him. They looked upon him, him that was born King of the Jews. They looked upon that child. They saw him. And what immediately happened? What took place? What do we read in this verse? And fell down and worshiped him. You see those men, they come into that house and they see Mary and they see the child. They see the babe. They see the Savior. They see the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately they fell down and they worshiped him. They couldn't stay on their feet. They couldn't. They bowed down. And that culture is a place of adoration. Absolute wholehearted adoration. They couldn't stay there standing before him. That's that King of the Jews. They fell down. They bowed. And they worshipped him. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Then you know the same place. Because when you see him through the Word, No, not in a vision. No, through the Word. And the Lord opens it up and He shows His Son something of His beauty, of His riches, that He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you see it. It brings joy in your heart. And there's only one result. There's adoration, worship. When you see through Isaiah 53 something of those wounds, that He was beaten, that He was afflicted, that He gave Himself willingly as the Lamb of God, that I should be beaten, I should be afflicted, I should be eternally sent away, but the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And you see through His wounds is the way back to God. That through those wounds is the only manner of consolation, as we read in the three forms of unity. Consolation for wounded, broken, grieving, wretched sinners. When they see something of Him, they come to the same place. They just want to fall down. They worship Him. Worship Him. Do you know something? Of seeing Him by faith, revealed by the Holy Spirit through the Word, in the preaching, in the sacraments, or at home through the Word, hearing the Word, hearing of Him, and faith went out to Him. Oh, you wanted to just embrace Him like that bride. You wanted to embrace Him, and you didn't want to let Him ever go again. Worshipping Him. Can you see that? Do you know a little something of this? This is the life of grace. This is where He brings. Because God is most satisfied when His Son is glorified. And with sinners, He yearns that seeketh sinners to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To worship His Son. To worship Him, that almighty, faithful, precious God. And they fell down and worshipped Him. And then what else did you? We read, they give Him gifts. They gave gifts. They took these gifts all the way from their home because they wanted one purpose. They wanted to worship Him with their gifts. And we can get in all kinds of thing of what these gifts mean. It's all summed up in one thing. Love and adoration. Adoration for this child. They took these gifts along already from home. All the way from their place with one purpose, to worship this King. That if they find Him, they would worship Him and they would pour out unto Him. What have you poured out unto Him? What have I poured out unto Him? When you come to know Him, that Savior, you want to pour out your heart to Him. Yes, it can be tangled in the world again. But when you really see Him through the Word, your heart is broken by His love, by His mercy, and by His grace. You fall down in worship, and you want to just give your life to Him. To serve Him, because He's so good. He's so worthy to be served. And I grieve because I serve Him so little. I serve Him so poorly. So much sin, so much wickedness. And He's worthy that I worship in my complete spirit and in complete truth. So they bow. They give. What shall I render to the Lord for all His blessings? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? This is the people. This is the life of grace. A life that's awakened by God's grace. A life that they begin to seek by God's grace. And by God's grace they find. And then by God's grace there's only one place to be. Adoring Him. Worshiping and surrendering all to Him. Do you know this? That's my prayer for you in this year, that you would be made truly wise. Wise unto the way of salvation by Jesus Christ, and that you cannot rest in any other place, but you can only rest as these wise men by Him, by seeing Him, by knowing Him, and adoring Him, worshiping Him, and He is worthy. But maybe you say, how do I know? Give me some marks how I know if I found Him. Well, already, do you know this life of what these wise men had? But what else? The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. Why? Because the commandments is the way to express love to God. The Lord willing, this year, we will come to the law. And it's a way of expressing gratitude. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that your heart? Is that you're longing, you grieve because you cannot. But in your heart, Romans 7, oh, that I would do the good, that I could do just the good to serve Him because He's worthy. What else? What else? There comes a trusting, a surrendering. No trusting any more of anything you have yourself. But true finding him, true worship also includes surrendering him. Surrendering your will to him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not what I want to do. If he calls you for a work, you may fight with all your resources, but he will conquer that heart and you will come to the place. What wilt thou have me to do? But in that life, there's also joy. There's joy that no other life ever can give. There's profound, deep, profound joy. They rejoiced to see the star. But I believe they rejoiced much more when they saw that child. And that's also the life. There's joy when the Lord gives a little light to guide in the way. But when you come to that child, when you come to that Savior, and when you can trust in him and in his mercy for such a wretch, there's joy. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. The wise men, they couldn't stay home. They weren't content. They had a question. Where is he? They came to Jerusalem disappointment. They couldn't rest. They couldn't go home. They had to find him. They saw the Lord guide him in a very special way. And you have the light of the word to find him. Beg the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you to that same place. And they came to that place. And they fell down and worshipped him. Worshipped him. They worshipped him in spirit and in truth. God's grace. That Almighty God, the Father, seeketh such to worship. He yearns for sinners to come to that place, and he has the grace to make them to that exact same place as these wise men. And that's my prayer for you. And he will bring them home where they will forever, fully, completely, worshiping him without any sin, rejoicing in the Lamb that washed them and cleansed them in his all-atoning blood. All the glory to God. But are you truly wise, or are you yet a fool? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we beg and pray thee apply thy word irresistibly, powerfully, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless the law and the gospel. Lord, give new life, convert sinners unto thee, and that they have that soul-searching question in their heart, planted by thy Holy Spirit, what must I do to be saved? And wilt thou lead them, reveal unto them that only Savior, and draw them, and that they may be active, no rest, until they may rest under their wings. And then it will be also to thy honor, to thy glory, it will bring to a worshiping of thee. Lord, we beg then for thy name, for thy honor, work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly in the hearts of sinners here in this congregation, in children, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones. Lord, have mercy. Do not pass us by, but bring and make truly wise unto that only way of salvation. May we acknowledge thee for thy precious word, for this time together in thy house, and for thy help to proclaim and to listen. Forgive all that was sinful. Help the elders in the catechism lesson. Bless it, Lord, those simple means to the glory of thy name. Salvation also of our young people. And bring us again together tonight, if it is in thy will. And give opening. Give much prayer. May there be those beggars storming thy throne of grace, and cannot let thee go except thou would bless us. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 374, stanzas 4 and 5. Ye people who worship Jehovah, his praises with gladness proclaim. His servants and all ye that fear him, sing praise to his glorious name. 374, stanzas 4 and 5. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with thee all. Amen.